by the U.S. Air Force.
You're going to feel a puff of air.
Jong's Optometry has set their sights on staffing up.
Try the next line. Hey, Kim, can you tell our 2 o'clock we're running 15 behind? Sorry, we're a bit backed up today.
He needs an optometric technician to keep an eye on it all.
Where are the dilation drops?
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
KFC's wraps are still just 2 for $5. Just think about that. 2 wraps, just $5. You want a new spicy mac and cheese wrap and a new honey barbecue chicken wrap for lunch? Just $5. You want a new mac and cheese wrap and a spicy slaw wrap as a snack? Just $5. You want 2 classic KFC wraps just because? Just $5. KFC wraps are back for a limited time. Now with 3 new options. Choose 2 for just $5. It's finger licking good. Prices and participation may vary. Prices higher in Alaska, Hawaii, and third-party ordering websites. Tax, tip, and fees extra.
You're listening to WRGN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Rising tensions in the Middle East and beyond. The U.S. carried out another round of airstrikes against Houthi militants in Yemen due to an imminent threat on ships in the Red Sea, and Iran's military launching strikes on Pakistan and reportedly Pakistan retaliating. National Security Council spokesperson John Kirby says the U.S. is monitoring reports that Pakistan carried out a strike in Iran.
We're monitoring this very, very closely. We don't want to see an escalation clearly in South Asia. South and Central Asia, and we're in touch with our Pakistani counterparts.
This afternoon, the Senate passed the stopgap measure to avert a government shutdown tomorrow, but the House still has to take up a vote later today, and the president still has to sign the measure if it passes. In Texas, a federal probe into the actions of law enforcement responding to the 2022 Uvalde school shooting finds critical failures from leadership and tactics to training. This is ABC News. Richard Simmons responding to news about a new biopic focusing on the fitness icon's life.
Tell me who wants to dance!
News came Wednesday that a movie was being made about the life of exercise guru Richard Simmons, produced by a subsidiary of Warner Brothers called The Wolper Organization. And that comedian and actor Pauly Shore would play the lead role.
Whoa, buddy.
But don't count on Simmons' support. He writes on Facebook that he didn't give his permission for the film, he doesn't have a manager or a publicist, and he just tries to live a quiet life. Wolper says it would love to have Simmons involved, but respects his desire for privacy and will produce a movie that honors and celebrates him. Jason Athenson, ABC News, Hollywood.
If you're looking for a job and willing to move somewhere remote, this may be your lucky day. The job is for a full-time teacher on an island in one of the remotest parts of the UK in the West Highlands of Scotland. That island has 150 residents and about 16 students. It pays $67,000 and has a $7,000 relocation budget. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Okay, everyone, gather around. It's time for corny jokes about passing the torch.
The team at Kirian's Welding was fused together solid.
Thanks for all the late nights and early shifts.
But double retirements mean the crew must bond with some certified new hires.
You've both gone the extra millimeter.
Indeed can help them hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Our hiring platform instantly connects you with quality candidates, and you can schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from the Indeed dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayling. Elected Milwaukee city officials are a step away from a raise in pay. By a 9-6 vote Wednesday, the Milwaukee Common Council approved giving themselves, the mayor, and other elected city leaders a 15% pay raise. That's starting with their next term in April. Those entities haven't had a raise in pay since 2008. The vote was taken just 17 days after Milwaukee started the state's first city sales tax. One of the alders who voted against the pay raises, Bob Bowman, told Fox 6 Milwaukee it was the size of the raise that he objected to.
I think it was too much at once. Had that increase been spread out, had it been a couple of percent in the first year, a few percent after that, I think it would have been more palatable.
Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson still needs to sign off on the pay raises. an attempted kidnapping in Waukesha County Monday afternoon. The sheriff's office there says a 40-year-old woman was leaving the beer depot in Pewaukee when a 37-year-old Waukesha man approached her and picked her up off the ground. The woman got away from the man and ran back into the store. She wasn't injured. The man who left the scene in a vehicle was later located at his residence and taken into custody. Charges against the man are under review. Self-harm can be a concern for kids returning to school.
As students begin the spring semester, the Wisconsin Department of Health Services encourages parents and caregivers to be aware of data that shows young people experience large increases in self-harm injuries at certain times of the year, including when school resumes after the winter holidays. Self-harm refers to intentional actions to hurt oneself. Examples include cutting, hitting, poisoning, or burning. It may be done to express or lessen emotional pain. Find more information on the DHS website. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network.
Smart businesses advertise on local radio. Durand's WRDN, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM. Business owners, listen up. What's the one advertising method that doesn't cost your customers money? Radio. It's portable. It's in cars, offices, homes, and businesses, and free to your potential customers. Radio works. Ask our advertisers, and you'll want your business on Durand's WRDN Radio at 1430 AM and now at 107.3 FM. Call 672-8989 today.
Becoming cloudy today in our Real Country 1430 forecast. 50% chance of snow late this afternoon. Highs near 10, north winds at around 10. Tonight, cloudy, 50% chance of snow early, low 4 below. Tomorrow, partly sunny, highs near 6. Be listening for Durand, Arkansas versus Colfax girls basketball tonight. The Advent Health Panther preview is at 7. Tip-off at 7:15 on Real Country 1430 AM and 107.3 FM WRDN and online at realcountry1430.com.
On the program today, great to have you along for the conversation. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Coming up on today's show, we're going to have a conversation after the bottom of the hour in segment three with Rachel Snyderman from the Bipartisan Policy Center. We want an update on the first of two government shutdown deadlines that are in front of us here coming up on Friday. What is the latest she is hearing from Washington, D.C.? We're going to talk about that coming up later in the program. Before that, we're going to take a look at a new white paper out from the University of Houston looking at carbon dioxide pipelines. They're not taking a position either way on pipelines, but they're looking at the benefits and some of the concerns with pipelines. We'll talk to Paul Doucette from the University of Houston coming up here in segment two. And also at the end of the show today, we're going to get a preview of Commodity Classic happening here in just a few short weeks' time in Houston, Texas. Brandon Honeycutt's one of the chairs of this year's Commodity Classic. We're going to talk to him coming up at the end of the program today. First up, though, let's take a look at what's happening in the market trade. Kind of a quiet start on Thursday. It's been an interesting week for sure. Joining us for a conversation about the markets, Mike Zuzulo with Global Commodity Analytics is here with us. And Mike, thanks for joining us today on the show. Hope you're doing well. These markets looking a little interesting here so far on Thursday as we near the end of the week, Mike.
Yeah, the technical slide continues here, Jesse, at this point. We've got hard red wheat with a little bit warmer weather still forecast for this weekend and especially for next week. And also talk now of starting up the Ukraine-Russia grain deal again. Hard red wheat's now posted the lowest move since July 2021, took out its November of last year's low. And as a result, we're sinking deeper. I think that's helped give the corn fresh new contract lows as well. We're now in the front end corn in March at the lowest since December 2020. So the way it looks to me is we're really starting to open up the technical side of the equation. The funds are really pressing at this point.
I know as well, you've been looking at a lot of analysis on the soybean market and some of the correlations and connections with China and China's economy currently. Soybeans, too, have been in a bit of a downtrend. Can you give us just a little background on some of that analysis that you've been doing?
Yeah, and this is something you can check out on our website to get more information on for sure. But this is, I think we're still trading supply and weather left over from 2023, Jesse, and in a big reason because of China's economy. The commodity driver for the commodity trend in 2024, I think, is still the fear that China's demand and their deflation is at the top of the list for why the commodities don't need to rally. And so therefore, supply and weather are the big drivers instead of the idea that the best cure for low prices is low prices. I'm a contrarian. I'll say it up front. China's economy is weak, but I think there's some green shoots. And I do think that 2024 could give us a possibility, if not a probability, for a low in the market. And I would suspect that crude oil and the wheat market are the best two leading indicators for an early 2024 calendar year low. But GDP numbers, their inflation gauge, some measures, their inflation, their deflation is the worst since 2009. Other measures put it at the worst since 1999. So you can understand where the trade's coming from.
I know a lot of farmers are pretty much, they're not a fan of where some of these current commodity prices are, particularly in corn and soybeans. What would you say to folks if they're taking a hard look at their marketing plan right now here, Mike, and maybe they haven't done as much selling of grain or marketing of grain as they probably should have? I mean, what should they be thinking about right now?
Yeah, and I put me in that camp as well as far as the corn side of the equation, because I was looking for a wheat low several months back. I think for me, Jesse, it goes back to the stocks report on the WASDE report from last week. What I do think USDA is right on is that we're tighter on soybean stocks. They say on farm down 2% from a year ago. Corn stocks on farm up 16% from a year ago. I would probably start with basis contracts if I were working with someone one-on-one. When it comes to corn, I'd probably go to puts and just put floor positions in place when it came to the downside in the soybeans, because a 5-8% decline from here is almost a dollar in the soybeans. And I think that's worthy of going after on the futures market, but maybe not sell too much when it comes to the cash market, unless you're not, you know, very well sold. That's where I've got one-to-one client conversations going on. If you're 20-30% sold on 2023 beans, yeah, get some more beans sold if we can't hold these technicals in the cash market, but otherwise maybe look to the puts instead.
Getting aggressive on any new crop contract selling as well here at this venture, Mike?
No, but the big thing that I see right now, Jesse, is the soy futures in the new crop November. There's still potential new crop downside because that bean corn ratio is still 2.5. That's not buying any corn acres back. That's keeping the soybean acres very much intact, in my opinion. So that's where I'm going to really have to make some tough decisions if we can't find some support off the corn and the wheat market here in the next few days.
Let's talk livestock, cattle, especially cattle off to a strong start on Thursday ahead of Friday's next cattle on feed report. You know, I'm watching this market closely here, Mike, and I know too, watching the box beef cuts moving back closer to $300. That's something interesting to me. What are your thoughts in this cattle market right now?
Yeah, that box beef number and the weather we've had and the lack of appreciation in the futures market for the weather the cattlemen and the ranchers have had would suggest to me we've got upside here. But I would also say take advantage of that upside, because USDA's numbers last week, they gave us 70 more million in beef imports, 60 million less pounds in beef exports, and then they raised production 120 million pounds, all these numbers for 2024. So they gave us 250 pounds net more supply domestically. That's about 1% of production. So if I could get up towards 177, 178 in the April futures, I'm still a hedger, Jesse, at this stage for quarter two in this marketing timeline. But I really think that the weather premium has not been put into the cattle, and I don't think the geopolitical premium has been put into the crude oil. That's how this market is trading.
Are you concerned about this cattle on feed report at all? We've had a fairly bearish run as of late. Are you worried about it coming up here on Friday?
The thing that would bother me the most is that the on-feed January 1 got above or stayed above 12 million head. I think that would send a negative signal that the nearby cattle don't need to rally that much, because like the corn, we got plenty in the farmers' hands, plenty in the ranchers' hands, and in the feedlots. So that's probably the biggest number I'd be watching.
Well, of course, we should remind folks the risk of trading futures and options can be substantial. I always like to get that plug in there every now and then. Mike, good thoughts as always. Before we let you go, if folks want to reach out to you with questions, take a look at their marketing and look at your analysis, how can they get a hold of you?
Yeah, the best place is at globalcomresearch.com, globalcom with two M's, research.com. It's our 15th year anniversary this year. We've got a special on the website. Please take a look at that. Take a look at our product services.
Well, Mike, always good to chat with you. Stay warm there in Kansas. Thanks for joining us today on AOA. We appreciate the time.
Thank you, Jesse. Have a great day, sir.
Mike Zuzalo with Global Commodity Analytics joining us here today on AOA. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk carbon dioxide pipelines, a new white paper out from the University of Houston. One of the researchers on that paper, Paul Doucette from the university, will join us next. You're listening to AOA, Agriculture of America. Back with more right after this. Join us the first Wednesday of every month on AOA for the latest episode of the Monthly Grind with our friends at the National Corn Growers Association. We'll discuss the latest topics surrounding the corn industry, the relationships between corn and other parts of the agricultural supply chain, the newest initiatives and partnerships from NCGA's Market Development Action Team, and much more. That's the first Wednesday of every month for the Monthly Grind on AOA. It's a show you don't want to miss. Join us every Tuesday for Around the Table, brought to you by CHS, as we discuss how cooperatives support farmers and ranchers and build strong communities. Each week, we'll chat with voices from throughout the cooperative system. From global market access to local expertise, we'll explore how co-op ownership means you own a world of opportunities. Tune in on Tuesdays or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
The landscape of media has changed, and people are more skeptical than ever about where they get their news and information. While major news outlets show decreasing credibility, your local farm radio station still shows strong marks. In a recent survey, farmers rated information from their farm broadcasters as almost twice as reliable as major news outlets. Farm radio continues to be transparent, honest, and trustworthy. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And joining us now here on AOA, we want to have a conversation about a new white paper out from the University of Houston Looking at carbon dioxide pipelines, no doubt that has been a hot topic of conversation across much of the country and across the Midwest here in the last year or so. Joining us for a conversation and talking about the research with us, Paul Doucette with the University of Houston is joining us. He is the Hydrogen Program Officer in the Division of Energy and Innovation at the university. And Paul, thanks for the time here today on AOA. Hope you're doing well.
You're most welcome, Jesse. I'm doing fine. Thanks. Looking forward to the conversation.
Well, give us just a background first about the white paper and some of the big things that you guys found with your research here looking at carbon dioxide pipelines. Paul, let's just start there.
So we started the project, Jesse, to try to put on paper and in front of sort of not a non-technical audience enough information about what carbon dioxide pipelines are, why they're necessary, what are the risks, what are the mitigations, so that people across the country who are potentially stakeholders in this debate would have a source of sort of neutral information, if you will. The purpose of the paper is to inform and not advocate. We don't really take a position on whether you should or shouldn't have a pipeline in a particular community, but rather say if there is a pipeline under consideration, here are the kinds of things you need to be aware of.
Well, let's go through some of the potential, the good and the bad maybe that you guys found with your research. Let's start on the good side first. What were some of the big things you guys found, some of the potential wins, so to speak, of a carbon dioxide pipeline?
Well, the traditional answer to that question is it brings a lot of jobs. First construction jobs, but then there are operating jobs. If you're concerned at all about climate change, as I suspect your audience is, then finding a way to get carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere is essential. And pipelines are critical in that space. Carbon dioxide is created in industrial facilities, and it can be sequestered or used in other places. And getting the carbon dioxide from point A to point B is a necessary link. I think the other thing that we learned is that amongst the various forms of transportation of carbon dioxide, pipelines are far and away the safest. And among pipelines, oil, natural gas, and carbon dioxide pipelines are still far and away the safest kind of pipeline. So I think those are the big learnings. I suppose if there's one big takeaway here, it is that all of the stakeholders need to come together and collaborate. That this is not an easy topic, and there's just an awful lot of sort of visceral knee-jerk reaction based on sometimes shallow facts, and that if people address the facts, look at the risks, understand the mitigations, they will be able to come to an informed decision about what's best for them and their community.
Well, and the safety aspect of these pipelines, I know that has been a big contention for folks who are against pipelines in certain parts of the Midwest. But to your points here and the research you guys did at the University of Houston, you guys really found that they're very, very safe, right, Paul?
They are safe. I mean, they and safe is how do I want to say this? Safe is not risk free, right? There's nothing in the world or society that's completely risk free. So there are safety considerations that have to be taken into account. But what we found is that if pipelines are installed properly, operated properly, with the proper oversight from both state and federal officials, and if the community and the community of first responders are fully informed and trained as necessary, then they are a lot safer than a lot of other things that you might consider in the world today.
Well, I know, too, with the whole conversation surrounding carbon capture and utilization and storage, I know a lot of folks have looked at that aspect as well. What did you guys find on the storage side? I know there's been a lot of talk about these big underground storage facilities in some places with some of these potential pipelines, things like that. I mean, I know there's a lot of different things that could be done. Did you guys find anything on the storage side when you were looking at things?
Yeah, so we did. One of the things I think that your audience might be interested in is the industry, essentially the oil and gas industry, has been sequestering carbon dioxide for 50, 60 years. It started way back in, I think it was in the 50s, 1950s in California. And it's been used as carbon dioxide was used to stimulate underground oil and gas reserves. And when that happens, a percentage of the carbon dioxide stays in the underground formation. And so that's a very rudimentary way of sequestering carbon dioxide. The other thing we learned, and that might be of interest to your audience, is across parts of the country, there's an enormous amount of basic natural gas that is stored underground. If you go up into the Northeast, for example, up into the Pennsylvania, New York area, there's a lot of natural gas in caverns in that part of the country because there's not enough pipeline capacity to get natural gas into the marketplace during the really, really cold winters that you experience in the upper Northeast. So the industry fills these caverns during the summer, and then the gas is available in the winter. So the point of that conversation, Jesse, is to say that the industry in general has a pretty good handle on how to store natural gas and how to store carbon dioxide. But it does require technology to monitor, make sure the carbon dioxide stays where it's put. It requires the selection of a proper subsurface cap rock to be sure that it doesn't migrate either to the surface or into some other part of the formation. And so, again, this is the same thing we've been talking about. There's positives, there's risks, there's mitigations, and it takes a complete understanding of all of that in order to be able to make informed choices.
Well, and to that point about making informed choices, I know that another aspect of this is the land ownership aspect, and that's not something you guys looked at here, and that's a totally different conversation, but at least looking at the safety aspects and just the technical side of this, I've talked about this before on the show, Paul, and I'm sure you could share your thoughts on this. It really comes down to having a good, honest conversation and trying to have a lot of facts in front of you to make an informed decision, right?
Well, that's right. I mean, when a pipeline company comes into a community and wants to build a line or establish a right-of-way through a community, you know, they're going to sit down and have a conversation with community leaders, with the mayor. There probably are going to be public hearings. There may even be public town halls. The difficulty in the past has been, I believe, that the community, the neighbors, the folks who actually live in the community have not had sufficient sort of background information on pipelines so that they could go to these meetings and ask informed questions. And when they heard answers, they had something to weigh those answers against. And so that's the point of this paper, that people who have to face this question will feel empowered to be a fair, an equal partner in the collaboration and the conversation that takes place.
Well, Paul, I appreciate the time and the thoughts here. Folks want to take a look at the white paper that you guys put out with the University of Houston and get some questions answered maybe and some myths demystified, so to speak, in terms of carbon dioxide pipelines. I'm sure they could find it online from the university. Can they do that?
Yeah, they can. The basic website is the university. It's uh.edu. So universityofhouston.edu. And then when you get there, you search for energy and innovation white papers or carbon dioxide pipeline white paper, and you'll find it.
Fantastic. Well, we do appreciate the time. And again, you could find it, uh.edu. We've been talking with Paul Doucette from the University of Houston about carbon dioxide pipelines. Paul, appreciate the time and the conversation. Thanks for joining us on AOA today.
Thank you, Jesse. Take care.
Once again, Paul Doucette with the University of Houston talking about their new white paper looking at carbon dioxide pipelines. And again, I think it's important to get all the facts to make an informed decision and really just have a good, honest Midwest conversation about divisive topics and issues like this one, no doubt. All right, we'll be back with more here on AOA, Agriculture of America, right after this.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. 800-926-1701. That's 800-926-1701.
Join Security Financial Bank for the 4th Annual Chippewa Valley Agriculture Conference, February 22nd at Florian Gardens in Eau Claire. Come gather strategies developed specifically for local agriculture producers, from knowing your numbers to application drones. The Chippewa Valley Agriculture Conference has something for everyone. Call 715-672-2412 or visit sfbank.com for more information. SFB, an equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Milk markets were mostly lower with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, February milk down 6 to 1565, March down 9 to 1605, April down 10 to 1680, May milk up 3 at 1753. Live in feeder cattle markets, mostly higher as traders are adjusting positions ahead of the cattle on feed report. A lot of market volatility. Also, the cash markets were stronger in live in feeder cattle markets, that helping to support the prices. Hog markets closed mostly mixed on the day as the trade continues to hit resistance levels in many contracts. That's leading to some long liquidation. February live cattle up $1.72 to $174.82. January feeder cattle up $2.50 to $230.92. February hogs down 35 cents to $71.10. Chicago Board of Trade corn markets were slightly higher on the day, getting some strength from the wheat markets of all markets. Now, ethanol margins, though, still remain poor due to soft driving demand and logistical issues due to the cold weather. Soybeans mostly higher. The Daily Wire remained quiet. Export sales will be released tomorrow. Wheat markets mostly higher as light buying returned initially in Kansas City but spread to Chicago and at Minneapolis. New crop corn up 3/4 to 475 3/4. New crop beans up 2 1/4 to 1191 1/4. And March wheat in Chicago up 3 to 585 1/2.
Start your new and exciting career at Martin Transport Mondovi. Martin Transport's one of Western Wisconsin's largest employers and is a leader in the industry, transporting temperature-sensitive freight to 48 states, Canada, and Mexico. Martin Transport now has openings for dedicated, local, regional, and over-the-road drivers, logistics, operations, maintenance, accounting, and information technology. Visit martin.com for more information and to apply. It's better in blue when you work for an industry leader. Martin Transport Mondovi.
A lot goes into powering this community. That's why your Touchstone Energy Cooperative wants you to know we've got you. It's a pledge to make sure you're always taken care of. A pledge we honor every day. From our member service representatives to our linemen and those making sure the power you use is there when you need it. We've got you. Always.
Riverland Energy is your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA. Well, we continue to watch what is happening on Capitol Hill as the first of two government shutdown deadlines in front of us here on Friday the 19th. There are a lot of questions, a lot of concerns, and a lot of folks looking for answers. We're going to take a look at what is happening and what's in front of us here on Capitol Hill. Joining us for a conversation today, she is the Director of Economic Policy at the Bipartisan Policy Center in Washington, D.C. Rachel Snyderman is with us. Rachel, great to have you back on AOA today. How are you?
Thanks so much. It's great to be back, you know, just jumping from one fiscal crisis to the next.
Yeah, really, I think a lot of folks are at this point, I don't want to say we've become numb to this because I don't think that's necessarily the case, but I don't know if I could find a better way to describe this, Rachel, is because we've been kicking the can down the road and down the road, and now we have another deadline in front of us to keep the government funded and open, and it's this tiered approach that was set up. So we have one deadline Friday and then another one coming up in a few weeks in February. What is the latest you're hearing? Are we going to get something done by Friday, or are we going to push this can down the road even farther, Rachel? What are you hearing right now?
Yeah, well, you know, you make such a good point about this, you know, the kicking the can metaphor, because you're right. Congress is months late in finishing its routine budget homework. It should have done this, funded the government fully through the current fiscal year 2024 as of October 1st of last year. But here we are still debating, you know, what these levels should be and what this package looks like at 4 months into the fiscal year. So right now what we're hearing is we're about, as you know, 36 away from a potential partial government shutdown, where appropriations bills for four out of the 12 for agencies that are impacted by four of 12 appropriations bills will expire at midnight tonight if Congress chooses to do nothing. And the remaining eight of those bills will expire on February 2nd. But what we're hearing right now is some optimistic movement, especially in the Senate, where they're going to vote today on this two-part kind of stooled or laddered continuing resolution that will again just kick this can down the road through March 1st for those first four bills, and then again March 8th for those latter eight bills, just buying Congress a bit more time to finalize and hash out this final funding bill for the full fiscal year. Now, you know, it's important to note that in a time where we feel like politics is so polarized, this approach was, you know, negotiated by congressional leadership. It has the support of Four Corners leadership to avoid a government shutdown, that a partial mm-hmm. government shutdown that would kick in tomorrow night. But then it's going to really be look to the House if the Senate does pass this tonight to buckle up and get this through before midnight, which is, you know, a tall order. We've seen them do it before, but it's going to require you know, Democrats and Republicans working together.
Well, and thinking about that and looking for some bipartisanship here on Capitol Hill to try and get this done. I know we got a top line funding number here, and that was one piece of the puzzle. But then we got to try to, you know, disseminate this out into all the various appropriations and all the different segments here to keep government open. And I know USDA, of course, is roped up into this here in this first set of deadlines. But as you look at that top line number, I know there's been some chatter that some folks aren't happy about that, particularly the members on the right wing members in the House, the far right wing members. I mean, realistically, are we going to be able to work with this top line number? What are you hearing on that?
You know, I do think that at this point, given where the discussions are, that lawmakers are going to be able to live within this top line. Important to note that this was actually a top line that was negotiated and into law back in June when we, you know, faced the previous funding deadline and negotiations over how to address the debt limit back in June of 2023. So I do think that right now, you know, we're looking at a situation where we need to provide certainty to the agencies, and you know USDA facing a partial shutdown tomorrow night if this bill does not go through, and lawmakers will have time to kind of negotiate what those agency top lines will be. What we're seeing right now is really the holdup is now not just that top line, but what's going to go on with this bipartisan border deal that is being hashed out in the Senate. We saw yesterday a meeting in the White House about some of the negotiations that are pertaining to this border deal and also additional supplemental funding for our allies abroad. And we've seen House Republicans kind of come out in force to show that they, you know, we still need more time to understand what's in that deal. And that, but so, you know, I think time will tell as to whether or not, you know, what that will look like. But we've seen even within the Senate, you know, Senate Republican leader, Minority Leader McConnell come out and, you know, really push to get this border deal moving, recognizing that this is actually the result of some very strong and goodwill bipartisan negotiating over the past months to secure our border and to support our allies. And so, you know, we're going to see that continue to be, I think, a sticking point. And we'll also, show that the Speaker Johnson, to get this continuing resolution over the finish line, is going to have to require the vote and support of a lot of Democrats.
We're talking with the Director of Economic Policy at the Bipartisan Policy Center, Rachel Snyderman, here today on AOA. Rachel, if we do kick the can down the road here and we get a little more time, realistically, can we expect to get something done here by March or hopefully? I mean, what would that mean for government funding here if we, essentially go half a fiscal year without having these numbers finalized? Are there any major implications that we would be looking at there?
So, it's an excellent point that you make. Continuing resolutions, while they provide certainty to agencies because they're able to fund agency operations at last year's funding levels, they also hamper new investments, new projects, new programs that the government wants to invest in and expand. And so I think that, it really does kind of hurt agencies' ability to plan for the current and future fiscal years when we're just continually kicking the can down the road. You know, another point to note is that agencies right now are already we're in the thick of planning for fiscal year 2025. The president's budget will be released in a number of weeks, outlining his vision for funding the government. And then Congress will be in this place by October 1st, needing to pass a spending bill for the next fiscal year. And so we should be having that debate right now, not the debate that Congress should have had last summer and passed into law before October 1st of 2023. And so this really does put federal agencies and the hardworking men and women across the country who staff them in a really difficult spot where we're currently trying to deliver programs and services at last year's funding levels, plan for the potential where we're going to get a full year appropriations bill, and then, of course, also doing that budget planning for the next fiscal year and beyond.
Rachel, are folks on Capitol Hill and in D.C. worried as well about all this work that's got to get done being tied up in presidential politics as we, I think we can say, officially have kicked off presidential election season with the Iowa caucuses earlier this week? Is there any concern, or do you feel like most of the work that Congress has to get done is going to be insulated from presidential politics season?
Yeah, well, it's an excellent point because, I think that when I'm thinking about the fiscal deadlines that relate to the current election, it's staring down what 2025 is going to bring. I think 2024 is going to be a lot of kind of these political opportunities to use the megaphone but not necessarily a ton of legislating other than just the routine homework assignments that Congress needs to get done, like passing a budget. But when we're looking at looking ahead to 2025, the next Congress and the next administration is going to immediately be faced with another debt limit debate, trillions of dollars worth of tax cuts stemming from former President Trump's tax bill in 2017 that will expire after its 10-year window at the end of 2025. And so there are going to be some significant deadlines that the next administration is going to have to, and next Congress is going to have to prepare for. That preparation needs to start now. And so that's where I think that, while we're seeing a lot of these kind of routine budget fights play out in the media. And of course, it's really planning ahead for what's to come in 2025, where I think that, you know, it behooves lawmakers to get ahead rather than, of course, kicking the can down the road, having these 11th hour fiscal fights that only end because, you know, you need both sides of the aisle to agree and move forward.
Well, Rachel, what should folks think about here? And keep in mind, we got about a minute here. What should they watch for and just try to remember as we watch this process ongoing in Washington, D.C. right now?
Yeah, you know, I think that there is a real opportunity for folks to, you know, engage with their congressmen and women, underscoring the importance of, you know, getting their budget homework done on time, and ensuring that we don't even find ourselves in a situation where we're potentially come midnight tomorrow night, if the House hasn't passed a CR, for example, and we have a temporary shutdown, even the potential for a shutdown causes enormous uncertainty and strain on federal workers across the country. And so I think that it's important that, you know, we utilize our democratic process to ensure that lawmakers recognize that, you know, holding up funding the government for a political bargaining chips is not how it's not a way to run a country. It's not a way to run the strongest economy. And it's certainly not how we run our individual household finances.
Well, great points. Appreciate the time. Folks can learn more. Bipartisanpolicy.org. We've been talking with Rachel Snyderman, Director of Economic Policy at the Bipartisan Policy Center. Rachel, thanks for joining us on AOA today. We appreciate the time.
Thanks. Always great to be back.
All right, coming up next, we're going to get a preview of Commodity Classic with Brandon Honeycutt. That's next here on AOA.
You know that Big Bargain detergent jug is 80% water, right?
80% water? I thought I was getting a better deal because it's so big.
If you want a better clean, Tide Pods are only 12% water. The rest is pure, concentrated cleaning ingredients.
Ooh, pass me the intercom thingy.
Attention shoppers, if you want a real deal, try Tide Pods.
Don't pay for water, pay for clean. If it's gotta be clean, it's gotta be Tide Pods.
Water content based on the leading bargain liquid detergent.
Progressive asks, what do a slow Friday night, bored teenage boys,
I'm bored,
a pack of fireworks,
this is going to be awesome,
and a teetering branch suspended over your car have in common?
Look out! Run!
They can quickly wreak havoc on your slow Friday night.
Uh-oh.
Bundle your home and auto with Progressive for great savings and round-the-clock protection.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situation.
Did you know there's dust floating around your home?
Really?
Yeah. Dust starts on hard surfaces like shelves and ceiling fans. And when you walk by, dust starts to move, compromising the quality of the air you and your family breathe.
So what do I do?
Get Swiffer Heavy Duty Duster. Swiffer Heavy Duty Duster is the fast and easy way to trap and lock dust
before it gets into the air.
Exactly. So you can just... Swiffer Heavy Duty Duster, proud partner of the American Lung Association.
You've heard the buzz about IT jobs and cybersecurity and AI, right? Why not prepare for a career in these fields and take advantage of the high demand? You can enjoy a more rewarding and recession-resistant lifestyle. Train in just a few short months at My Computer Career. Are you a veteran, active duty military, or already in IT? Skill up for positions employers need to fill. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation. That's mycomputercareer.edu. Financial aid is available for qualified students, including the GI Bill.
This is Around the Table, where we explore the benefits of cooperative ownership. Today, Neil Jahnke, a corn trading expert with CHS, will provide a 2024 corn demand outlook. Neil, domestic corn use declined last year. Do you expect a rebound in 2024?
2023 was a very different year. We had a very poor crop in the southern plains. We were shipping corn from North Dakota through our cooperative systems, South Dakota, all the way down to Kansas and feeding the livestock industry down there. We have some problems with our domestic demand. Our livestock margins, our dairy margins, our swine margins, our poultry margins are all break even at best. And then, of course, you look at ethanol. Ethanol margins are poor at the best. us currently. We've came through some headwinds there, but our demand picture, we're just not growing demand. We're not growing livestock and we're not growing ethanol demand.
Well, U.S. market share of world corn exports increased last year for the first time in 3 years. Do you expect more of the same in 2024?
We increased for one basic reason, and that was Argentina had a crop disaster. Their crop was down 30% year on year. It's doing the opposite. We're going to grow 20 million met ton more corn in Argentina. They're going to steal every piece of export business they can to get back in the market. Our Brazilian production has exploded. Brazil is going to outpace the U.S. for exports for the first time since 2012. So our export market does not look favorable.
Well, how will corn supplies and demand affect planting decisions and marketing strategies, Neil?
The market's expecting about 91 million acres. 91 million acres on a trend line yield will put our carryout close to 2.6 billion bushel, or the highest carryout in the last 20 years in the U.S. We're going to have to store corn in the U.S. The U.S. is going to be the corn carryout for the world. If there's corn carries, meaning that corn's worth more next year than it is this year, the market has proven that the U.S. will be the place that the corn is carried.
Thank you for joining us around the table. Learn more about the benefits of cooperative ownership at cooperativeownership.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. Our experienced attorneys are standing by to evaluate whether you have a lung cancer claim that qualifies you for a cash award. The consultation is absolutely free, and there is no risk and no money out of pocket. We only receive a fee when we secure you and your family a settlement. 250,000 people are diagnosed with lung cancer every year. You're not alone in this battle. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and that medical expenses are covered. Again, if you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over age 60, call now. Don't delay. There are deadlines for filing claims. We're standing by 24/7. Call us at 1-844-903-1744. 1-844-903-1744. That's 1-844-903-1744.
Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Granton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America. Great conversation with Rachel Snyderman from the Bipartisan Policy Center in that last segment. I know a lot of folks, myself included, pretty much just dissatisfied with the issues that we have going on with government on Capitol Hill right now, trying to get things funded. Hopefully we can get some answers and get some resolutions here sooner rather than later. Rachel brought up some real great points, and so hopefully we can get some things done. Of course, we got to get appropriations, and then we got to turn our attention to a new farm bill and much more. And I know that is one of the big topics of conversation during winter meeting season. Things like cost of inputs and more, that's also another topic of conversation. We have a new farmer rancher survey available right now online on our websites and on our social media. And you can head there and voice your opinion. We'd love to hear what you are thinking, some of the issues that are on your mind as we begin 2024, including presidential election season and much more. You can find the links again on our social media and online for the January Farmer and Rancher Survey. So hopefully you get a few minutes. You can go take that survey and we will record your answers, and we'll share those results coming up here in just a few weeks' time. Also, we are getting prepared for Commodity Classic coming up in just a few weeks in Houston, Texas, coming up February 28th is when things kick off, and it rolls through March 2nd at the George R. Brown Convention Center in Houston, Texas. And looking forward to another great Commodity Classic. I know we're trying to connect with one of the co-chairs of this year's Commodity Classic, Brandon Honeycutt from Nebraska. We'll see if we can get connected with him before the end of the show today. And if we can't, we'll definitely reschedule time with him. But I know folks are excited for Commodity Classic this year. As always, there's a lot of great stuff on tap for this year's largest farmer-led, farmer-focused agricultural and educational experience. all the top brands will be there. The trade show, of course, a lot of the great educational opportunities and more. You can make sure to get registered for Commodity Classic, get your hotels booked, and much more. You can do all that at commodityclassic.com. Again, that is commodityclassic.com for more information on this year's upcoming Commodity Classic. Well, let's take a look at a couple news headlines here on AOA as we are watching a group of lawmakers asking the Department of Agriculture to swiftly open the 2024 Dairy Margin Coverage Program sign-up period, a program, the nation's risk management tool for dairy producers that helps farmers manage changes between milk prices and feed costs. The lawmakers, including Iowa Republican Representative Randy Feenstra, writing, quote, "Now, as we are nearly halfway through January, there continues to be no indication given to producers of when they will be eligible to select their DMC coverage level for 2024, end quote. Now, the delay, the lawmakers say, coupled with the unpredictable nature of the industry, is concerning for the farm economy and the constituents we represent. Throughout 2023, dairy producers faced numerous challenges, high input costs, continued inflation, and unpredictable weather conditions, meaning that programs like the Dairy Margin Coverage, which provides certainty during unstable economic conditions, are vital to producers and rural communities, the letter says. Now, lawmakers urged USDA to quickly open the sign-up period to provide dairy producers certainty in 2024. Also, as we look at news headlines, large-scale family farms accounted for a majority of the value of commodity production in 2022, according to a new report from USDA's Economic Research Service. Specifically, these farms accounted for 51% of cash grains and soybeans, 56% of hog production, 65% of cotton, along with 65% of specialty crops and 76% of dairy products. Now, on the other hand, small family farms accounted for 3% of the value of production for dairy, 4% for cotton, 7% for specialty crops, and 26% for beef, but they produced the majority of hay, 53%, and 45% of poultry and eggs. The value of production by non-family farms ranged from 5% for both hay production and poultry and eggs production to 19% for specialty crop production. Large-scale family farms are those with a gross cash farm income of more than $1 million. Well, the marketing year 23-24 global soybean production forecast has increased by 0.1 million metric tons this month to 399 million metric tons. USDA's monthly oil crops outlook shows higher production in Argentina, the United States, Paraguay, Russia, China, and Bolivia, more than offset lower production in Brazil. Now, global soybean trade for 23-24 forecasted to be up from last month and stands at 170.9 million metric tons due to higher exports from Paraguay and Russia. The global soybean crush is nearly unchanged this month as higher crush in Argentina, India, Egypt, and Thailand offsets the reduced crush volume in Brazil. Global soybean ending stocks are forecast at 114.6 million metric tons, up 0.4 million metric tons from last month's forecast and 12.7 million metric tons above last year's level. In the latest crop production report by USDA, U.S. soybean production was raised by 35.2 million bushels on higher yields. The harvested acreage is reduced this month, 0.4 million acres on lower harvested areas. So some interesting notes there. And also, the United Soybean Board on Wednesday released the 2023 Soy Sustainability Overview. The report outlines the partnerships formed through checkoff investment to drive innovation in sustainability. The advances include efforts to enhance sustainability in production agriculture and ongoing development of new soy-based products that provide cleaner alternatives for everything from rubbers and plastics to adhesives and lubricants. You can find more information and view the full sustainability report from the United Soybean Board online at unitedsoybean.org. All right. Well, we are out of time here today on AOA. Thanks so much for joining us. Coming up on our program here tomorrow, We are going to talk with Andy Campbell from Tractor Zoom, get a rundown of equipment. We're also going to talk markets with Naomi Bloom from Total Farm Marketing. And we're going to get a preview of Cattle Convention with Kristen Torres, NCBA's Executive Director of Meetings and Events. So we've got a busy show planned for you tomorrow. Looking forward to all of that. We're out of time on AOA. I'm Jesse Allen. Thanks for listening. Have a great rest of your day.
Every day, our brave military men and women, along with their families, make tremendous sacrifices for our freedom. Patriotic Hearts, a nonprofit organization, is dedicated to supporting these heroes and their families in their times of need. By donating your unwanted card to Patriotic Hearts, you'll be supporting job transition and job fair programs, veteran entrepreneurship, counseling, and retreats for combat veterans and their spouses. Call 800-560-3870. You'll receive a tax deduction, and we'll arrange a free pickup at your convenience. Imagine the difference you can make in the lives of those who have given so much for our country. Your card donation will directly impact military families, veterans, providing them with the support they desperately need. Call 800-560-3870. You can become a part of something bigger. Join us in our mission to uplift and honor our military community. Call 800-560-3870 to donate your unwanted card.
A promise is potent. Born of intention, fueled by commitment. It's seeing things through. Always showing up. And we know a thing or two about promises here at Susan G. Komen. Over 40 years ago, we locked arms with you toward one vision. A world without breast cancer. By investing in life-saving research and standing up for patient rights, we are shifting the system so all people everywhere get the...
My daughter is normally a little goofball. But after a bad night's sleep, she's too tired to be anything. That's why I trust Pure Z's Kids. Pure Z's Kids is mindfully formulated just for kids. Their non-habit-forming, drug-free products help my daughter fall asleep naturally, giving her the rest to be her best.
Grr, I'm a dinosaur.
Best dinosaur.
Pure Z's Kids. For ages 4 and up when needed. Explore our products at ZQuil.com.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose...